The following content is brought to you by Mind Initiative Incorporated. The opinions expressed in the following conversation are of the hosts and do not in any way represent the opinions of Mind Initiative as a whole. Some themes in this series may be distressing or triggering for some listeners, and so viewer discretion is advised. If any of the content does trigger uncomfortable feelings or cause distress, we encourage you to reach out to us via our Facebook page or seek further support from beyondblue.org or contact Lifeline on 13 11 14 for 24/7 over the phone support. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we all stand, and we extend our respect to the elders, both past and present.
Hey everyone, my name is William Fletcher.
I'm Natalie Griventi.
And I'm Hannah.
And welcome to another episode of the Mind to Mind podcast. So this episode kind of acts as the conclusion to our 10-episode season about talking about neurodiversity. And this final episode is all about the acceptance of neurodiversity. And I've had a lot of fun going through these past 10 weeks speaking all my everything I know about neurodiversity. And going through this season has actually definitely made me a lot more passionate about the whole topic than I've ever been before. I'm really excited to bring this to like a conclusion, because I am really for the whole acceptance of neurodiversity, because it's definitely something that has experienced a lot of rejection in like the past couple of decades, and a lot of rocky history about like neurodivergent people stand in society. But I am happy that now more than ever it is really starting to be accepted that it's okay to be different, and it's okay to think on your own terms, and it's okay to have a mind that doesn't conform to everybody else. And I'm really happy that it's now being accepted and celebrated. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think we've come so far, as you said, in the acceptance journey, but I feel like there's still so much we can do. I feel like, but I think we're on the right path. I think we're going in the right direction. And I feel like as years will go on, society will become more and more accepting of neurodiversity and start to celebrate it a lot more. I was thinking, what can I talk about this episode, right? And I thought we should all say our favorite thing about being neurodiverse as something positive, because we are unique and different, but we're also really cool people.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure, you go first.
Okay, I will, since you insisted. Honestly, now knowing I'm diagnosed obviously helps. My favorite thing is just the fact that I am different. I know normal isn't really a thing in society, but like I have this cool work that makes me think differently and act differently and experience life differently. And I feel like that's honestly such a positive thing to think about. Like I am unique in society and I can use that to my advantage. And that's what I think I love most about it.
Yeah. How about you, Hannah?
You've just made me think now. yeah, you just made me think. I have to say, probably fairly similar to you, Natalie. Just like being, I think just thinking, like having a different mindset to everyone else, mm-hmm. and just being in society and behaving in like so many different ways. It's just, I don't know, I guess I kind of makes me quite happy to be able to do, like, for instance, stimming. I don't know if you know about stimming, but I like to stim a lot, and to be able to do that now and actually not have to worry about doing it in public, like it makes me quite happy that no one's going to judge. Or whereas, you know, back before it was kind of accepting and stuff, I was probably judged constantly for, you know, the stims and everything. But now I kind of feel that I'm allowed to just do that. So I guess that's probably one of the things that I love about my diagnosis is probably just that stimming and being able to do what I want to do that makes me happy.
I
So,
love that answer.
yeah.
Will, your turn.
Okay, for me,
Yeah.
the trait I am most happy or proud of is me. I've never wanted to conform. I've never wanted to follow with the crowd or try be like everyone else because conforming can really suck. I mean, like it sometimes just suck the life out of you and you just feel like you no longer exist in like a massive crowd of people who are all doing the same thing and it's really boring. I like to do me. I like to do what I want when I want, and I don't really care if anybody judges me for it. And nobody really does anyway, which is great. But like, I just love doing things that interest me. If I want to go somewhere, I just get in my car and go there, whether it's to the beach, to the theme park, to the movies. I've never really fallen to really peer pressure, and I've never really tried to be like somebody. If I don't like it, it's just me, and I just do what interests me, and I am happy that I haven't really been judged for it because I'm just really comfortable in being myself, and I think that is the message that we've been driving home for this past 10 weeks is just do what makes you happy and don't care if somebody else puts you down for it or judges you for it because that's not your problem. Those people are probably haven't figured it out that they can be themselves too, and we just need to help everybody, be comfortable doing what they do instead of just following what everyone else is doing.
I love that answer, and I feel like it's such a positive way to look at it. I know it's hard being a woman that's late diagnosed because you grow up masking and conforming without even realizing you're doing it for so long, and then to be told that, you're different, you are kind of just conforming to society's norms to fit in and to stay. It's so hard to now navigate whether I need to mask, whether I should mask all the time, whether I should just say, bugger it, I'm going to be myself all the time, or whether I choose to mask in certain situations because it just feels more comfortable and safe. Or like, I feel like it's a really hard thing to navigate getting late diagnosed because you don't know whether it's right or not to do it.
Yeah. I've found masking personally to be very uncomfortable for me. It just never feels right. It just feels like I'm like impersonating someone else instead of just being me. I often find Australia to be particularly conformist sometimes of like how we're supposed to act as like a society conforming to a certain culture. I mean, I've never really been a big fan of sport in Australia. I mean, I like it. I do like it, but I'm not like fanatical about it. And I often feel like, well, if you don't like sport, does that mean you're really an Australian? And I think, yeah, I am. I'm just a Australian on my own terms. It doesn't mean that I have to conform to everything that's Aussie society demands that I should conform to. I mean, like, yeah. And I'm not saying it's all like this, but I mean, Australia's it's still a very free country, of course, but it's just things I've noticed.
I feel like in terms of acceptance of neurodiversity, I feel like even just women getting diagnosed still needs a lot more acceptance because it's such a common, well, not common, but it's more spoken about in men. All research has been on men. The diagnostic criteria is based on men. And now all of a sudden this new generation of people are finally getting diagnosed, even in their like 30s. And people are like, no, you can't have it. You're 30, you never got diagnosed, like it's not a thing. Or they go, oh my God, you're different. Like, gross. Like, I feel like I don't know if that was the best way to explain it, but I just feel like in general, I feel like we need to be more accepting of people when they are late diagnosed, not going, oh my God, you're a whole different person now. Like, go away. It should be, hey, you're still the same person. You just now have an explanation as to why you're a little bit more unique. And I feel like
Yeah.
that in acceptance itself is something that society still needs to work towards.
And that's what should be good about a diagnosis. It should give you like a deeper, more meaningful way of understanding yourself that you haven't had previously. I mean, like, once you are diagnosed with something, that part of yourself becomes less mysterious and less alien to you. And now you feel like you can now have a bit of a more, safer, well, not safer, but like a more general like understanding of like why you are the way that you are. And once you get that diagnosis, you say, okay, well, now I can use this to my benefit. Now I can understand why the way that I am, and you don't have to be scared of it. You can just accept it and carry on and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and I feel like getting diagnosed later does feel more scary because it's like, oh my gosh, am I this whole different person that I just don't know about? But I agree with what you said that getting diagnosed should almost be like a relief. It goes, hey, and like this applies with all like mental health diagnoses. It goes, hey, that's an explanation for why things have been this way. And I can now work towards embracing it or using it to my advantage or working on things that I need to work on to be the best person that I can be with this condition. Hannah, you got anything to add to this discussion?
It's always very hard, I feel like, because I'm just like listening and then I'm trying to kind of work out what to add, but like, yeah, I don't really, yeah, I'm not sure to be honest.
That's fair. Oh, I have another fun thing, right, that we could do. Is there like a key moment looking back when you were younger where you go, how did, well, for Hannah and I, it's how did they not know we had it, but that you just go, oh yeah, I really do have it. Like, is there like a moment you can remember, like when you were a kid that just goes, it screams neurodiversity and that you just go, wow.
I guess for me, it did come down to my interests. I mean, like, I was so obsessed with elevators as a kid. It was pretty cool, just like how I was into them. But like, at the time, I tried to explain why I liked them so much, and I couldn't really find an answer. But I think now it's just there was something magical about them, being able to press the button and have it go really high up, and I think it like provided like a sensory experience to me as well. It was kind of like relaxing, and gave you like a sense of control, and there's like something wonderful that there's like wonder about it, and it's really exciting. And then I was like interested in like planes and trains, and I just loved how it all connects together as like a network, and how everything like works so perfectly, and how everything is crafted. And then I was obsessed with theme parks, and I guess I was just obsessed with having fun. So no, I never found that to be really something wrong with that, but I knew that my intensity of focus was probably different to a lot of other people that I knew. I never found really me being different or me having a different mind has really impacted me that negatively, really. Yeah, I guess that's a reason why I was diagnosed autistic.
And we love special interests. They're always a play. They're always fun looking back at all your different special interests growing up and you go, why was I obsessed with that? But like you just were. And it was the best thing ever when you were because it brought you so much happiness. Like there's no reason to question it.
Absolutely.
What about you, Hannah? Do you have a moment that screams, oh my God, I was neurodivergent?
I feel like I probably did have like a few moments like through school and probably even like childcare as well. But I think a lot of the time when I was kind of just sitting alone in the corner by myself playing or in school and I was just by myself in the corner, I guess that sort of kind of screams and a little bit of neurodiversity and makes me feel a bit like, oh, this child's, I think, yeah, well, that's, I think that's what my mum, when she picked me up, she saw me in the corner from childcare, and like, or like I might have been screaming or something. And I think that's definitely quite a big sign that there might be the neurodiversity there as well. And yeah, similar to Will as well, I did have a lot of special interest. And I believe I do remember lining up objects a lot. And that very much screams neurodiversity, which I still do to this day with my pencils. I still line up my pencils.
But with that, there's nothing wrong with
Yeah.
it. Like
No, not at all.
instinct to like construct. I mean, Minecraft
Yeah.
is based off that. And look
Yeah.
how successful that turned out, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, but yeah, there's just some of the things that I can think of. I mean, I probably did have special interest. Like now one of my strong interests is turtles. Everything about turtles. I love turtles.
That's so cool.
Everything about them, basically. Yeah, I guess I probably did have special interest. I did like, I think I liked it. I liked weight being on me as well, as like a comforter. So, but yeah, that's probably all I can really say that I can think of.
I've been
Because, yeah, I was diagnosed late, so
I've
it
been
was hard. Yeah.
albums as well. There's this one album called Rest and Relaxation by an artist called Montgomery Smith, and I must have
Yeah.
listened to that album probably at least 100 times now, because
Yeah.
it just works. It helps me, it helps pacify me and put me to sleep in like a way that hardly any other album can.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of my childhood when I listened to that CD when I was like 10 years old back in
Yeah.
2007. And there's just something about it that just, there's like something about it that just magically like relaxes me every single time I listen to it.
That's pretty powerful. Yeah,
But
definitely.
I mean, I as well was pretty isolated during school as a kid. Didn't have that many friends. Would often sit by myself quite a lot. Making friends as a kid was particularly hard for me. It was like something I just didn't know how to start. It's like a caveman trying to bang two rocks together and start a fire. It was just not easy for me. But once a friendship was launched, I was pretty all right at keeping it, at least. It's just that kind of that social blindness of being able to properly, engage with somebody and connect with them, that can be hard.
I feel like social skills in children, because you can just have kids that are neurotypical and just suck at socializing, and then having like neurodiverse kids that suck at socializing and like not being able to identify between the two sometimes. It's funny looking back to me, because from what I know, I didn't actually make my own friendship until I was like 9 years old. All like the friends I'd had were like assisted by like my parents, or the teachers were like, go hang out with these kids and stuff like that. And I'm like, how did I not make a friend myself? Because I was just too awkward. I didn't know how to start a conversation. I didn't know how to do the small talk. I'm like, what do I even do when they are my friends? I'm like, it's just so, and I'm still bad at making friends to this day. I'm lucky I have some friends that have stuck around for quite a while and I can just be myself with them. But like making new friends is so hard.
I mean, even when I was in university in 2016 to 2018, I had a lot of trouble connecting and holding conversations with people I studied alongside with. Pretty much all of those people I don't see anymore because they've all gone their own way. But I stuck with Jason, and Jason has really become a really good friend because we share like a common passion of developing Sinatorium, and I've kind of been like his almost like his kind of like his moral support, almost like a Wilson from like House, Dr. House MD, just a person just to keep him going, keep him in check, give him advice. And I've gotten a few more friends from Central Room now. There's Tim and Connor, who are probably some of the best friends I've ever had. I had friends, a couple of friends in high school, but since graduation, we don't really see each other anymore. Yeah, definitely the friends that I made with Sanatorium and Chill, and even through Mind Initiative, have been definitely my best connections I've ever had, which is
I
great.
definitely feel like when there's a common interest, friendship is so much easier because you just have this shared love of something. Where for us, I mean, it's probably special interest to those people as well, but like when you have a special interest, it like consumes so much love and energy. And when someone shares that with you, it's so exciting. It's like someone gets how I feel about this really random topic.
I mean, it's just passion, you know? It's just passion, you know?
Yeah, because I've got a couple of good friends that I've made through gym because I'm very passionate about like the gym and like training and whatnot. So I've made a couple of good friends from there as well and chill. So yeah, it's just I think it's finding that similarity.
Yeah, and something you can bond
Yeah,
over.
because like I don't keep in touch with anyone from school. 'Cause I just never,
That's all past now. You
I
always
mean, I'm probably a bit younger than you guys, but I have a couple of friends from school, very little compared to who I talked to when I was at school. But I mean, even being in uni, like, I don't have any uni friends really, but I also don't try to make uni friends. I feel like a lot of the time uni friends are really forced. Because you're like in the same class, so you're like, well, I might as well be friends with them. Whereas I'd just rather sit by myself and do it alone.
It seems like most of the time in my life, when I make a friend, somebody makes a friend with me. I've never been good for like forcing friendships or
Oh, no.
forcing myself on people I don't know. That has come naturally to me.
I feel like neurodivergent people really struggle with small talk, and that's half our problem.
What is small talk?
What is, there is no such thing as small talk. That's what I'm saying. I'm so bad at it. I hate it so much. I'd rather just have a deep conversation about something really random than just ask how their day was.
It's like asking, what is the Matrix?
And I don't have an answer.
Anyway, for me, special interests, I can never force a special interest into existence for some reason. Like I've tried to become like obsessed with going to the gym or obsessed with going to a sports game, and I mean, when I force it, I do like it, but it doesn't like catch on as a long-term special interest for me. It's very rare. I mean, most of my special interests developed in childhood, and I've kind of like wondered if I can ever have a new special interest. I guess if I went hard enough, then yeah, maybe. But like, as I said, I feel like it's something that happens naturally, and I can't really control it.
I 100% agree with that. I feel like you will definitely have more special interests in your life, because I've had so many that are new to me being an adult compared to like the ones I had when I was a kid. Like, I was really obsessed with animals when I was a kid, and I'd have posters around my whole room of all these different animals. And as you can see, I don't have posters of animals on my walls anymore. So they change. And then I feel like I agree, you can't force them. I feel like they come up really randomly. And you can't control it. And for me, that main one was K-pop, as you can see by my cool new wall behind me. because I always felt really embarrassed for liking it. I thought I was like, oh my God, I'm such a weird kid for liking K-pop. Like, this is so embarrassing. And like, I always wanted to not like it. I never wanted to like it. I was like, I don't want to be the weird kid that likes it. But it has, and it stuck with me for quite a few years now. And I've only just gotten to the point after over like 5 years being like, okay, we'll just accept it as a special interest. It is one now. But like, it took me 5 years of me not wanting to love it, but still loving it to go, okay, we'll just accept it now. It's just our special interest, and that's fine.
Embrace it, exactly. I've noticed that sometimes my special interests can wane. I mean, I've talked about my theme park interest. During my late childhood, it was really, really, booming. It was full throttle. I was obsessed. I was looking at pictures and information about theme parks around the world, like Cedar Point, Disneyland, Six Flags, Alton Towers. And I always longed to go to those places. But as I grew older, I realized, well, I still haven't gone to those places yet. And this is probably not maybe the best obsession for me to have at the moment because I'm wanting to go somewhere that I'm literally cannot be able to go to. So I said, I'll just keep it to Australia. Just keep it to Australia. If you go to a theme park overseas, that's great, but don't try and force yourself to go there. And now the interest has kind of waned a bit. The only reason it kind of is still alive is that my friend Jason really lo loves theme parks, and I love to share it with him. So he has helped it stay alive. But now I'm kind of more like interested into, I just like nature. I just like driving into like Tambourine Mountain, or driving into like a rainforest, or driving into the bush, and or like seeing natural wildlife, or going for a walk on the beach. And just trying to appreciate things that I can actually do without getting on a plane and spending thousands of dollars to get to a place across the world. So I'm kind of more like, because I'm going on a overseas holiday in September, but I don't really care because it's not about theme parks. It's about going to Italy and experiencing the history and going to Venice and going to all these.
Eating
Yeah, exactly.
the
I'm kind of just,
food.
I'm now just accepting just to go with the flow and not always be obsessed with going to places that I'm not going to be able to easily access.
No, I feel like,
Definitely. Yeah, that is true.
I feel like special interests come and go because our neurodiversity changes as we get older and life happens and stuff anyway. So it's only natural for special interests to change as well.
Yeah, that is true.
I feel like we should probably wrap up. I feel like I've been talking for a lot of it. But to end on one positive, because we got to end on a positive, what is one message you would like to say to the world about neurodiversity, everyone?
Don't be afraid to show your true colors. Don't be afraid
Yes.
to show the world how you truly feel about things, how you think, what you're interested in. Don't try and be embarrassed or sh don't be ashamed of liking something that you do. Everybody likes something in this world, and it's not our job to shut people down or shun people or make them feel weird or make them feel like that they're bad or sick, because that's definitely not what we should be doing. Gotta stop the phobia of being different, and you just gotta break down the barriers and just be yourself, and that's basically all there is to it. Just don't be
Or
afraid.
to put it simply, don't hide neurodiversity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, love
And try not to
it.
mask. I know people who have masked all their lives. It's very be scary to unmask, but I mean, just give it a try. You'll probably be surprised.
What are your famous
Definitely.
last words, Hannah?
I kind of just said it.
It again.
Just don't hide neurodiversity. Just stim, do what you want, kind of just don't let people judge you. Don't just, if you're different to, neurotypicals, just be different. It's
Go with your
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My final last words, because I have to have the last word, obviously.
Yeah.
Two things. To the neurodivergent people, be you. If other people don't like you, that's their problem. To the
Yeah.
neurotypical people, if you don't understand, educate yourself instead of
Yeah.
eating on it or not understanding and discriminating because of it. Educate
Yeah.
yourself. It's not hard.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Anyway, if anything that we've brought up has made you feel uncomfortable, just remember you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. They're always there to support you over the phone 24/7. Anyway, that's us for tonight. We'll see you again soon. We've got a couple of extra episodes coming up as well. Anyway, that's it for us tonight, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.